The recording is started. You may now begin.
Thank you. So this call is a synchronization call between independent counsel and co-chairs of the Cross-Community Working Group on Enhancing ICANN's Accountability in order to ensure we are clear about the next steps after the discussions that took place in Buenos Aires and on the way to the Paris face-to-face meeting. So I think the first point would be whether Holly or Rosemary, you have any update or need for clarification about progress and since Buenos Aires and the requests that were made to investigate in more details a couple of models. And I see Holly's hand is up. So, Holly?
Well, hello, everybody. So we've been making great progress. In fact, I got up early this morning, and I've been putting the finishing touches, taking comments from Rosemary and her team and from some of the internal folks at Sidley on what is a PowerPoint presentation that looks at the two models that were proposed in Buenos Aires and that we were asked to look into in more detail. So what we've done is we've looked in more detail. The PowerPoint describes the two models to the best of our ability based on what we heard, although they hadn't really been fleshed out in any detail in the meeting. We then talk about some of the legal issues that they raise, and then we go on to talk about what's similar about the models, what's different about the models, and finally, Rosemary has put together a great set of slides on how one might implement the two models, meaning we've had to take them and adjust them a bit to address some of the issues, but really have laid them out with much more flesh on the bone. One of the thoughts that we have is about next steps. We think this is probably ready, where we could have a presentation to the CCWG by phone next week if you wanted to do it pre-Paris, to get people thinking about these issues. We are a little hesitant to simply send the slides out without, you know, in advance of a presentation, because they're really designed to have someone walk through them and explain them. But we wanted to raise that with you today. The only other, there are two other things that I'd like to discuss at some point today, so I'll put them on the table now and you can decide where you want to put them on the agenda. One has to do with a third model that's been in the back of our heads as lawyers. And as we heard about the concerns in Buenos Aires, we think it may solve some of the concerns that were expressed and is simpler than the models that have been put on the table. That being said, we understand as lawyers that you haven't asked us to come forward with models, but we also think that we need to let you know that there is another way to go that could address a lot of the concerns that have been raised. So we would like you to give us direction about what you would like us to do with that and how we should advise you. And finally, one of my colleagues, Ed McNicholas, who's been working on the binding IRP, binding arbitration kinds of issues, will be in Paris for other purposes at the time of our meeting and has volunteered to attend if that would make sense for you all. So you would have no cost of any kind of travel or hotel or any of that as our you know, Sidley second. So those are the things I wanted to talk about, and I figured I'd put them all out at once. Thank you.
Thank you, Holly.
So
I think you're... Yes?
Let me raise my hand.
Rosemary, yes?
Sorry about that. Didn't mean to breach protocol by talking without raising my hand. I actually have a question about one of the fundamental, or two of the powers, one being the fundamental bylaws versus the standard bylaws. Because I had understood it prior to Buenos Aires as being the difference was really about the threshold. But in Buenos Aires, and that's based on reading the proposal of the reference model. But in Buenos Aires, it seemed to me that there was also a distinction being drawn about what the board's role would be versus the community's role. So it wouldn't just be that there's a higher threshold to change a fundamental bylaw. It was also that it would be done by the community and not by the board. And I just wanted to find out what is the community's desire when it describes the fundamental bylaws. Is what's the difference between fundamental and how they're changed versus standard and how those are changed?
Holly, is that a follow-up?
Yeah, I'm going to do that because I wanted to give you some context so that you'd understand why this question now arises. We noted in the reference model that the way in which the community powers around the standard bylaw is described from a verb standpoint says the ability to cause reconsideration or to reject the standard bylaws. With fundamental bylaws, it says the right to approve fundamental bylaws. And this issue becomes important because under California law, designated third parties can be given the right to veto bylaws, but not initiate and approve bylaws. So that's, I believe, the reason why this issue is coming up as we're trying to think about what powers can we really give to the community in a designator model. Is the community looking for certainly a veto right? Would that be sufficient? And then a provision that it was a higher vote threshold for that veto or a lower vote, or a higher threshold for the board to initiate. Or is the community looking for initiation and approval rights? The reference model described, and I read it again this morning in the initial draft, does not speak of the community initiating, but we wanted to make sure we understood the point.
And also, to clarify just a bit further, it doesn't mean if you tell us, oh, what we wanted was for the community to initiate. I don't think it means that we can't give you, the community, the power directly. In other words, the power to force the board on threat of recall to do it. It just means what we can do isn't quite the designators vote and pass a bylaw amendment. So we just want to put this right in the right category.
I mean, the answer may be that this is not the call to answer that question and that we simply need to raise this as an issue for clarification with the CCWG.
I suspect that's going to be sort of my answer to this last question about fundamental and standard bylaws. Obviously, so far we've always conceived the difference as standard bylaw powers being a veto right with a certain threshold, and fundamental bylaws being an approval right with a certain threshold.
But what we don't understand is the difference between how you see the power to veto and the power to approve, because they're really just the flip side of the same decision.
Because the veto would be triggered by a petition, which is not the case for the fundamental bylaw.
That helps.
On the veto right, the process was in the model we've been describing in the initial proposal, was that to get to the point where the community votes, you need, I think it was one or so RAC to launch a petition and say, we think the community needs to vote on this one with a veto right of this, which is not the case for the fundamental bylaw, where there's no petition, and if it's a change of the fundamental bylaw, then we go straight to the community body and get a vote.
Could I ask for a clarification? That really helps. So aside from the petition, if what you were seeking was that certainly on the standard bylaws, you're saying, look, if the community has a concern, it will raise it. It's in there. They have to petition and say they want to have a reconsideration veto. In the fundamental bylaws, the fundamental bylaw cannot become effective until the community has had an opportunity to vote. That vote opportunity, if that vote opportunity was a simple veto, it may be a way to bridge the two concerns we have, which is every fundamental bylaw must go to the community for an opportunity for this veto, and maybe that's what you're calling approval, because it cannot be implemented until the community has had an opportunity to weigh in. Am I getting it right?
So that would need to be checked with the group.
Okay.
That sounds reasonable to me.
The issue it raises is that the vote to veto by the community would have to be the flip of the vote to approve. So
right. It would be a veto vote.
If you had planned to have a 90% approval vote, you would have a 10% veto vote.
Yes, I fully understand that.
10% of the community
right.
wanted to veto it, that would be it.
Right, of course.
So
if 90% voted to veto it, it's a veto.
No, you would have 10% to vote to veto it, and it would be a veto.
Oh, you're right.
That's what I'm saying.
You're absolutely right. Okay, you're
it's
right.
It's totally flipped. And so it looks quite different. I mean, I think if from what I understood, even though I hadn't understood that until Buenos Aires, I have to say. I hadn't understood it reading the reference model.
So, but it's, I'm just trying to get to the point of it's workable.
We put it in a different place. It's not a direct rate.
Absolutely.
It's an indirect rate.
So we'll raise that in our, it's raised in the PowerPoint as an issue. Rosemary, I adjusted it a little bit this morning, and I just circulated a new draft to you, so.
I'm sorry for getting you guys involved.
Just
in
to recap.
But this is exactly the kind of thing we've been going through for the last 3 days.
Yeah. And I think what is our expectation from this exercise and the request we're having is that under the various headlines of the models, you suggest what is number one, legally correct, and number two, as close as possible to our requirements.
Yeah.
So, for instance, you say in the designator model, the closest we can do to the fundamental bylaw approval is a veto right that has to be at 10% and so on and so forth. Then I think that's already extremely useful.
We're interpreting our remit here to take each of the models as described by the community and reflect back to you the best we can do toward what you wanted that model to do. And in some cases, we're adjusting structures, and in some cases, we're having to give rights indirectly because we can't give them directly.
So what we're doing is we're explaining, we're taking the model, and then we're doing the best we can at saying what we think is possible. Now, what is possible and whether it's acceptable to the community will be two different issues. And so one of the things that we also do in this presentation is start by saying, these issues fall on a sort of a continuum between trust and enforceability. And while the reference model is a clean model from an enforceability standpoint, we heard the concerns in Buenos Aires, we heard the comments, and we understand that that may not be where CCWG and the ICANN community want to be on this continuum as they think about the mechanisms that they're putting in place. And so we sort of put on this continuum where the different models fit in terms on that sort of voluntary compliance to enforcement. And we're looking right now at models that fall somewhere in between. And so what we have to do as lawyers is make sure you understand the risks. What you have to do as clients is tell us how much risk you're willing to accept. And that's your, you know,
right.
So I want to have a little discussion, put that out at the outset. I am concerned that people think that because the lawyers talk about enforceability, that we think that that's the right answer. And it's not for us to come to the right answer. It's for us to understand your goals and help support them with, and at the same time make sure that you're fully aware of the risks.
So regarding this, there was in the graphics that were laid out just the meeting in Buenos Aires were a number of issues. I think we labeled them problems or whatever. And that's really reflecting some of the requirements of simplicity of changes, sort of how much change that's going to imply for the organization, how much this relies on potential use of courts is something that mm-hmm. we've heard. Those are the kind of risks
yes.
that need to be surfaced, as well as the enforceability risk, obviously.
And we do, absolutely. And one of the things that we need to go back to, I think, Rosemary, this is the thing that remains to be done, and maybe Ingrid could take care of it today, is to look at the Friday, chart. That was from our Friday working session, and make sure that our chart at the back covers all of those issues.
Absolutely. Excellent. So you were absolutely right saying that the risk we are running in the process towards Paris is that your presentations might be perceived by some as trying to influence in a way or another. And that's what we need to be extremely careful about.
I agree.
Because that's not your point, that's not my point, and
right.
we're trying to get as much information available to the group for the group itself to make an informed decision. But we have a little bit of extra steps to make to demonstrate that we are actually neutral about the options.
Mm-hmm.
But want to underline the consequences. So that my suggestion, I'll turn to Leon to see whether he thinks it's appropriate to have this on the meeting on Tuesday. I'm rather inclined to dedicate a bunch of time on this. However, my suggestion would be that we maybe Leon and I don't think Thomas will be back by then, sort of review the document, but only on the basis of whether we spot anything that might give the impression that you're pushing for something or another.
Well, and also, I mean, we'll say at the outset, again, what I want, and I think that we do need to state this to the group, that we, our goal as your lawyers is to understand your goals and help you think about how to best implement them, making sure that you're aware of the risks so that you're making an informed decision about the risks. We do not have a view about how much risk you should or should not take on. That's what you have to decide, and so our whole goal is to make sure that you're informed. And sometimes the questions that we raise, you might assume that there's a a viewpoint about what's the better path behind them, but usually those questions are just simply questions.
That's why I think what we can do is the sort of a outside reader providing you with feedback, whether unintentionally you some of the wording might provide a wrong impression or something like this.
Right. Now, with that being said...
I know it's very difficult.
With that being said, I do have to say that some of the presentations in Buenos Aires of the model seems to us very much designed to be advocacy rather than information. And so we're trying to make it more information, and we've, you know, for each model we've put up sort of, you know, here's what we think it is. Here's what we think some of the concerns might be that we need to be addressed. Here's a way to implement it that would, to the extent we can figure out, address the concerns that we've raised. And that way you now have the model to look at and think about whether or not they make sense. So with that being said, I know Ingrid, I don't know if Ingrid has the time to look at this today.
I'm sorry, I do have time. I just need a little more clarification what I should be looking at.
On the Friday work day, which was the first sort of day in Istanbul with the CCWG, when they did the discussions around all the various proposals that have been out there, there was up on the screen, and I haven't been able to find it, there was a sort of a chart, a very nice chart that was put together of sort of the concerns and considerations. And then we had a discussion where we actually populated that chart based on the discussion in the room to try to assess the strengths and weaknesses of the various proposals. I think, Matteo, that's what you're talking about us being able to do with this. And so because we've already come up with sort of the categories, it would be great just to grab that chart and then look at our two models now against it.
But I don't know that we've ever been able to – I don't think that's been shared. I'm not sure if it was something that people developed right on the spot. It must be shared somewhere. We just haven't been able to find it.
Yeah, we haven't been able to find it. It was shared. I mean, it was up on the screen, and
right,
staff was checking it off, but I haven't been able to find it. So maybe if, Alice or someone from ICANN could help us find that, it would be really terrific. And it won't take long once we have it. I mean, I think it's, you know, just an hour or so walking through it. We have used other graphics.
Holly, was that the mind map thing?
It was the one that had the model.
Was that sort of a...
And then people went through in the room and described how each model stood up against these criteria.
This was that first day-long working session where we were having people were debating, but we weren't calling it a debate.
So, Alice, that's the spreadsheet from Thomas.
Yeah.
From the Friday.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, action item is to find it back and share with the two firms.
And obviously, it's not the models across the top we care about. It's the sort of criteria and requirements that were down the side.
Right.
Yeah. So, Leon, what do you think about a presentation on the next CCWG call to get people through the current thinking on the two models?
I think it would be a good idea. Maybe to keep it short and not have it being the center of the.
No, we can't, Leon. That's the problem.
Yeah.
We can't keep it short. For us to go through this, it's 20 slides. It's going to take some time and focus and attention. Now, if we can't do, we're going to have to do it at some point. And so the question is, do it pre-Paris so people can sort of get a head start and think about it, or wait till Paris, where I think you need to give Rosemary and me a good 40 minutes to present, maybe an hour. And that's, if I say 40 minutes, that's 40 minutes without being interrupted.
Okay, make sense to me.
A real presentation, and then you're going to need another 40 minutes of Q&A, I'm sure.
Yeah, we will be lucky if it was 40 minutes of questions and answers.
So I think we need to we need to ensure we don't have any other urgent topics on the agenda for Tuesday before that. But I'm inclined to think that this could be possible this week, but not next week. And from what I see on the potential agenda for Tuesday, that might be feasible to dedicate an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes to that. Because the rest of the work is basically preparing stuff in the work parties, and we will have to approve or not the vital drafting on the AOC or something like this. So I guess that could be feasible, but we would need to check with the other rapporteurs whether they do need time to move some items forward.
We're happy to wait until Paris if that makes more sense from a focus and timing perspective. I do think the community is eager to see what the lawyers have to say about the model, and I'm very hesitant for the slide presentation to be sent out without the opportunity to, at the same time, present it.
Pushes me towards the idea of presenting is what you said about a new model. Let me explain why. I don't think you should come up with a new model like this, and especially not at the last meeting in Paris.
I agree. We have no intention. Intention of bringing forward a new model, but at some point...
I know.
I mean, I feel like we're not doing our job if we see a way that could. I'm not saying it would. That it would. You know, people may have concerns about it, but it's cleaner and crisper and addresses a lot of the concerns. And so, one thing to think about is there's somebody else who would want to propose it.
Let me finish what I think is valuable is. If you can go through the presentation of the two models on Tuesday, have some question and answers. But also, if we can, if you can explain why you think a new model might be worthwhile exploring, that might enable us to have to actually certify the request to investigate the new model on Tuesday. So that in Paris, we get potentially the three models. None of these models just came up a couple of days earlier. They were all properly certified. And we can put you in front of the room for a 1 hour or even 2 hour question and answer session, grilling session about the models until everyone has exhausted every question on it. And so that's why I'm tempted to push some things out of the agenda on Tuesday so that we can have this update.
I would agree with that view, Matthew, and I also agree that the group is eager to have an explanation of the different models. And a suggestion that I would make is that on any slides that are presented, each model is labeled for its name, because I mean, so far we've been very clear, or the lawyers have been very clear on the names of the models, whether they are membership model, designer model. But then we came with the hybrid model label, and that has caused a little bit of confusion, I think. So maybe a good way to go would be to just call the things by their name and be very clear about what we're talking about.
So I think that's a good feedback, and it is obviously something that we've had to struggle with in order to put the slides together. Nacho, we had told you that we would give you something toward the end of this week, which would be today, and this slide deck that we've been talking about is exactly, I think, what has come out of our agreement to get you a description of the models, driven as far as we can from within the legal framework. And so I want to, if we're going to present on Tuesday, was there a thought that we could have share the slides earlier with the co-chairs just to make sure we haven't misunderstood something or put something, you know, that there's an error in the way we've understood what you want?
I think it would be a good idea to circulate them to us. And, of course, we will make any comments or suggestions if we see something that is not or that could cause confusion, I mean.
Okay, Holly, are you? I'd like to do that. So,
oh, of
Holly,
course.
Is that okay
of
with
course.
You? Yeah.
I agree. If the co-chairs would like to see it, that is fine with us. Absolutely, I think getting your feedback would be good. Another question I had was whether it makes sense to share some or all of it with the two proponents of the two models so that they have an opportunity to let us know if we did not fully capture what their idea was. So John Warren and Becky Burr are the proponents of the two models, and I wonder if it would be helpful. I wouldn't send them the full thing, but rather the description of their models so that we can know if we didn't get it right. Because I would hate to get...
So that would be Becky Burr and?
John Curran.
And I guess we would just send one to each. We would send Becky the one she proposed and John the one he proposed.
It would really only be two slides, but just to say
right.
Just capture. Or maybe we'll do one.
To see one.
Okay, I think that's good practice. Did I understand correctly what you were describing? I'm not sure it's John Curran who forwarded this message.
It was.
He sent an email.
It was a proposal from John Curran saying, please consider this.
Yes, I remember that. It was Becky's model, and then John Curran made some additions to it, and his slides were circulated to the list.
By the way, Mathieu, I can reassure you, the word hybrid does not appear in these 20 slides.
And that will be helpful. I mean, it's just the kind of word that at some point just gets.
I don't even know what it would be a hybrid between, you know? What
okay.
does Alice mean by Jordan Carter? Alice has in the chat.
I think she was asking if maybe he was the proponent of the other model, but it was John Curran.
I thought it was John Curran. I thought
it's definitely John Curran. I have the email that he sent where he proposed it.
So this John Curran, and in the room, it was echoed by I think it was Fiona Asonga.
Yeah, it was it was echoed by a number of people, but I think we have to go to the person who put it to paper and just make sure that they agree, you know, well, give them an opportunity to tell us if they agree or don't agree with how
we
but the issue we are having is that John is not a member or participant of the group.
Ah.
So if he's contacted and not others, that might lead to some issues.
Okay.
So my suggestion would be to go to Fiona Asonga or Athena, because I know they work together and they're from the same community as John, so that's going to be all right.
Actually, if I could make a suggestion, the designator, empowered designator model, I don't know that we have a lot of questions about it, but it's really pretty straightforward. So maybe it's just enough to go to Becky and make sure we got her model correct.
Yeah, that's safer. That's a safer road.
Okay.
So let's do that then.
So we will, Ingrid's going to take a last pass at the slides. Is that the idea, Holly? I know you just made some edits this morning.
I would like to see what Ingrid does with that last chart.
Right.
If she could put it in and then give me an opportunity.
We'll try and make final edits today is the point, and then share it with the chairs only today. And
I'm hoping that there are not a lot of other edits on the slides at this point. I have to turn to a lot of other things.
Understood.
Okay, so really fatal flaw next, I think it pretty much hangs together. Take a look at what I did on this last draft.
Understood. But I'm trying to get at where we're going to end up with, in terms of a timeline of events.
We're going to send it to the chairs either later today or tomorrow. And
will we send it to Becky, or will the chair send it to Becky?
I think we should send it to Becky. And again, it's just going to be the slide or two.
Okay. All right. That's just all I was trying to get at. Who's doing what when? So then the chairs will be able to give us any feedback that might require further adjustment to the slides prior to the Tuesday morning, California time anyway, presentation of the slides to the larger group on
the
7th.
Yep. Okay. I think that's the main topic here. I noted there was a question about your colleague who's the IRP specialist.
Well, he's an arbitration guy, yeah. And he'll be, really up to you whether you'd like to have me include him in Paris or not.
Can be very interesting. However, I would suggest, can you maybe reach out to Becky and copying us as co-chairs to suggest that so we can discuss this with her, as she's in charge of the part of the report that addresses the IRP. There might be, I mean, it would be more valuable if they could sort of interact before.
Ed and Becky have interacted. He commented on her slides. He's been part of the team, and he's had direct contact with her when we were giving her feedback on the slides that she was presenting. But I'll certainly reach out.
Yeah, I think that would be good, so that we can have the discussion with Becky as well about how she's planning to the discussion on the IRP to take place. And if this extra lawyer comes in and joins the meeting, we will probably disclose that this was an opportunity and it's not adding any extra cost to the group, so that there's no ambiguity about the fact that we are still within the framework of the number of lawyers per meeting we said we would have.
So look, Matthew, I'm going to tell you that, frankly, I have some mixed feelings about it because I don't want it to overemphasize the IRP aspects of this and take us down discussion paths that we don't need to emphasize. This was simply, he was going
to
be in town, and if it was no big deal, he would, instead of me having my plus one on the phone, the plus one would be in the room. part of my difficulty is he won't always be the right plus one. So I've got my own issues that I have to try to manage.
So think about it, and then we keep in touch with Becky in the loop. Okay?
Okay. Okay. Sounds good.
Is there anything else?
I don't have anything else. I did note that Robin sent a message to the full group asking how the lawyers were being managed by and by whom.
Yeah, and so that's the item I would close with. I noticed this exchange of emails. What we are going to, I've already asked Alice to recap the notes from the meetings when we discussed this request and when we discussed the fact that the CCWG coaches were managing the relationship with the lawyers and so on,
mm-hmm.
for everyone's to remind everyone of the process. And we will also report back to the group about the fact that we've had this call, that it's been transcribed and will be available, and that basically that was useful to check that there could be a presentation as early as Tuesday, and so in advance of Paris. And then the paranoia will step in, but that's nothing we can do.
Right.
So that's
it's already in. So.
Oh really? Didn't notice.
Yep, a couple of emails already.
Just one point of clarification. We're going to send the slides to you today, hopefully for you to look at. I think we'll wait for your comment before I reach out and send the slide or two to Becky. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. So I think we've been good and efficient, and thank you for your very prompt work on this. And I think it was useful to synchronize and understand exactly how we're going to proceed. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing the slides, and we'll try to get back to you quickly with anything that would raise suspicions or actually concerns, and so that we can be in time for Tuesday.
Terrific.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.